7:40 here on the Mighty 690, and it is time for another legislative update here on a Friday. On the line, we have Representative Doug Blex. How are you doing this morning, sir?
Well, fine, thank you. We finally got a little bit of rain, so that's always a blessing.
I know. I was just going to ask you about that. Yeah, it's we got 3/4 of an inch of rain here in Coffeyville, so that's nothing to shake your head at. That's very good to have.
Yes, it is. We are way behind, and we need some big pond filling rains, but we haven't got those yet. So hopefully in the future.
Absolutely. So, hey, I want to talk a little bit about the revenue here, because we had those numbers come out this week, right?
Well, we're still holding fairly good. We were actually slightly below, 2.3% below the revenue estimating group, and really not much of a change. A lot of that decline was triggered by the federal tax law changes that kind of reduced Kansas income tax. Plus, we had a couple of days less collection since April the 18th was the tax day. So, still real good. Sales tax were a little bit less. Individual income tax collection was a little bit less. So, overall, financially, state of Kansas is in very, very good shape. We have nearly $2.5 billion in our checking account, which is just the operational account, and $1.9 billion in our rainy day or our savings account. So overall, financially, we've got a lot of money. We probably should have sent a little bit of that money back to taxpayers in a tax relief, but I will talk a little bit about the override process. The governor vetoed 15 bills and 15 line items in each of the budget. The governor can actually go through the budget line by line and decide, I don't like that one, and veto it. So our last few days was trying to override some of those vetoes, and some of them were fairly important, and you know, we were successful on about 13 of those overrides. That would include some line items out of 30, so that's about half, so that's pretty good. So some of the real key ones I'll kind of key in on was the Born Alive bill, which states that if a baby is born alive, that you must make every effort medically to save it, and that was primarily through a botched abortion. And then we had the Women's Right to Know, that would basically, you must counsel a woman if she comes in for an abortion. You must say, if you take an abortion pill, there is an option that you can take another pill to reverse that before you take the second one. So basically, some of this stuff, most of this stuff is just common sense, but I don't know, it seems like the world we're living in is overly crazy about things that we don't think should happen in Kansas, but yet they do. And one of them that was brought a lot of attention was overnight stays. If a school is sponsoring a school trip, biological boys and biological girls need to be in separate rooms, and that certainly happened in a school out by in northwestern Kansas. Yeah, it only happened once, but one of the things we've learned that things that happen once can happen twice and more on. So kind of common sense. And then another one, House Bill 2094, which would say if you're on, it's kind of a welfare reform, that if you're currently getting food assistance, we increase that age from 50 to 59, that if you're working less than 30 hours a week, you must have some job training. Human smuggling, kind of a controversial bill, not sure exactly. Basically, we do have a lot of human smuggling in our state, and law would actually strengthen and make it a crime if you intentionally know that a person that you're transporting is illegally or has been kidnapped or something. So it created quite a bit of a controversy, but anyhow, we did strengthen that. And then Senate Bill 180, which is a Women's Bill of Rights, and that basically would guarantee that that if you're a biological female, that you'd have a right of privacy in a restroom, that biological males that think they might want to be a woman for that week cannot come into a woman's restroom. And then we also had to define what biological sex in jails when a person is incarcerated in our county jail. Some guy may say, "Well, I feel like a woman today, so put me in the women's section," and a lot of problems there. We kept that fairly simple, but those were some of the main overrides that we done that the governor vetoed. And of course, the Senate tax bill, Senate 169, which was a huge tax package that would have benefited a lot of people and actually give some property tax relief and sales tax down to zero on foods a little quicker. That based in our Social Security cliff that we have, if you make over $75,000 as a family, you have to pay it all rather than prorated. And that was vetoed, and that cost us probably taxpayers about $1.4 billion over a three-year period, about $450 million a year. And certainly with the balance that we have in our checking account and our savings account, we probably should have sent that back to taxpayers rather than just holding it.
Yeah, for sure.
We had some that we did not override, and if you're interested in those.
Of course, yeah, we got some time to talk about those.
Say again.
Yeah, I said we'd have some time to talk about those if you'd like.
Okay. Well, Eddie Eagle safety bill, basically Eddie Eagle is a real simple program, but it had the magical words NRA endorsed on it, and that seems to cause a lot of strife up in the Capitol building. But basically, it's geared for younger age kids, that if you see a gun, you don't touch it, run away, and you tell an adult. Just basic things, don't touch it, run away, and tell an adult type thing, and don't touch it. So that basically, we failed to, the governor did veto that, and we failed that to maintain a veto override in the House. That takes 84 votes. In the Senate, takes 27. Another one that was real important, I thought was real critical. The two things I hear a lot about is, you know, out on the road is the lack of affordable housing and the lack of affordable child care, or not even getting a child care provider. And what we were done, I heard this in the Health and Human Services Committee, currently there's a child-to-staff ratio that the KDHE sets that standard, and there's also indoor space per child, outdoor space per child that you have to have, and of course, training requirements for child care, daycare centers for the operators and people. And ironically, a current requirement for training of a daycare center owner, they have to have at least somebody on staff that has a college degree, and they must have training, and they must have annual CEUs every year in order to maintain that certification as a daycare. And it's just really common sense. You know, basically we're allowing now a person with a high school education to be a substitute teacher for our kids in school. And yet daycare providers have to have a college degree, at least somebody on that staff, as well as CEUs, which is it's beyond pale to me that when we have a shortage and when you have issues that come up, that we continue to throw barriers in that. And then there's a ratio of, and don't hold me to this, I think Kansas has, if a certain age, at a young, very young age, maybe less than 12 months, they have to have, they can't have over three per staff, which Kansas is real restrictive on that. Most of our surrounding states are 4 to 5. That was vetoed, and we did not get enough votes to override the veto. So that was that'll be kind of a bad deal for our, you know, people trying to juggle a work schedule and find child care.
Now, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask you here as we get kind of closer to the end of our time together, has there been any updates on your water bill? I know as, you know, we're looking kind of here into the summer and we have the National Weather Service saying, you know, the drought is going to persist. And I know that, you know, the bill you're working on is, you know, wouldn't necessarily here be in the short term, but still something that people are thinking about and wondering about. So I was just wondering if there were any updates on that.
Well, yeah, the governor did sign it, so that will result in about $35 million extra that will be available to communities to work on water issues. Obviously, I kind of jokingly say the House sent a good water bill over to the Senate, and then the Senate watered it down and kind of messed with it because we had about $46 million in the House version, and by the time they messed and played with it, it got down to about $35 million, which I'm not overly excited about that, but at the same token, I'm very, very happy that at least we got to, finally, after I've been working on this for 7 years, we finally got to a dedicated funding source. It wasn't a sales tax like the House version that I proposed, but at least it will provide some money, and certainly we have a lot of local communities that are hurting and need that and have a lot of water issues. And so that'll go quite a ways. The previous budget was about $14 million that the Kansas Water Office had, so this will increase that by about $35 million, and it'll pay off the debt of the reservoir. And the governor has signed that, so what will happen now? It will go to administrative rules and regulations, a hearing. They'll actually have a hearing within that agency and develop the rules of how they want to do it. And they will take legislative intent. And I think we're going to get, certainly it's going to be a big deal, but I think we're going to get some good cooperation from Kansas Water Office and Department of Ag and Kansas Department of Health. They've assured us that they will try to involve all parties. So, yeah, I'm happy about that. It will probably be, I'm guessing, three months before all that administrative process is out. I'm guessing maybe 6 months we'll finally get some money out available and the people that really need it.
So when could some of these municipalities and different entities start applying for some of the money?
Well, they still have to develop that application process. I've been assured by the director that they will try to do a fast track. Like I say, I'm guessing 4 to 4 months at a minimum, possibly 6 months. They may have things ready by September. That's kind of a target. I've been told that's kind of a target rate, but, you know, I can't for sure say that. So, yeah, we need some cities really need some relief right now, and certainly one of them that's in my district, Caney, has just had a major water bill increase that will certainly impact them, and hopefully they can get some actual loan forgiveness through a grant application process.
Absolutely. Well, sir, we appreciate you coming on the program as always. As we wrap up our time together, anything else you'd like to add for the listeners?
Well, another significant bill I got, which is, doesn't affect a lot of people, but Kansas Wildlife and Parks law enforcement officers will now be eligible for participation in the Kansas Police and Fire Retirement, which is a shorter term. Law enforcement is, to put it mildly, is a young person's sport, and so this will allow them to, before they get into an older, more mature age, to be able to serve their time in 20 years. So that is a long time coming too. So we got that done this year, and I was happy about that.
Absolutely. Well, sir, we appreciate all your work up there in Topeka, of course, and we look forward to chatting here again soon about all the happenings that are going on at the state level, and really, of course, thank you for joining us here this morning.
Well, thank you. I think sometimes it's better off if we're at home, we do less damage to the people if we're at home rather than Topeka, but it was kind of trying this year, but we did get a lot of good things done.
Absolutely. Well, lots of work to do right here on our own backyard. So thank you, sir, and look forward to chatting again soon.
All right. May God bless us all.
All right. Thank you. That is Representative Doug Blex here on the Mighty 690. And keep it here. We got lots more on the way on KGGF.